When I was a student at Gulf Coast Bible College, Lily McCutcheon spoke one time in chapel. She was one of our great lady preachers in the Church of God. I'll never forget, she stepped up to the podium after she was introduced, and she pointed her finger out every one of us, and she said, "You are born to raise hell." She said it again. "You were born to raise hell." I believe with all my heart this morning that the truth that I'm going to share with you from God's Word will, if you will implement it, if you will integrate this truth into your daily life, you will become a Jesus lover, a Jesus worshiper, a Jesus server, so much so that every morning when your feet hit the floor, Satan is going to say, "Crap, he's up again." Now, you can call Pastor Nathan, tell him I cussed in the pulpit if you want to, but I'm just quoting the devil. Okay? Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6 says this: "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they will be filled." Blessed are they. Say it with me. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. You didn't say it like you meant it. Let's try it again. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they will be filled. How many of you believe that? Okay. Several years ago, everything I talk about several years ago now, a young man that was converted somewhere close to the same time that I was, and he and I started this journey together, and he said a lot of eye-opening things to me as a young Christian. Hopefully I said some things to him that was helpful to him. His name was Bill Gilbert, and I'll never forget Bill saying to me, "Ralph," he said, "you know, most people get just enough salvation to make them miserable." And I was offended at that. I thought, how can salvation make anybody miserable? But as time went on, I began to understand what he was saying. Most people get just enough salvation to make them miserable. He was saying they get stalled out. They stop growing. They stop changing. They stop letting God change them. They lose momentum. They settle for less than the best that God has for them. You know, God wants you to have the very best. Many people settle for far less than the best that God has for them. They settle in their Christian experience for church membership. They settle for religion. They settle for legalism. They settle for just going through the motions and settle for far less than God's best. They compromise even the longings of their own hearts and settle for being lukewarm, mediocre, and unworthy of themselves as believers and unworthy of Jesus Christ. And they never get to the abundant life that Jesus promised every one of us. In John chapter 10 and verse 10, the scripture says, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly." Do you understand what Jesus is talking about? Life more abundantly. Now, I confess to you this morning that I have not always practiced this great truth in my life and even in my ministry. There have been times that I have become legalistic. There have been times that I've just gone through the motions. There have been many wasted years in my life that I could have been doing something worthwhile and something that made a difference for the glory of God. And I did not, because I did not always practice this great truth. Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they will be filled. Now, I believe that the purpose of preaching is transformation, not just information. I believe that God wants to change our lives. I believe when we hear the Word of God, if we will receive it, there is absolutely no way that we could ever be the same again after hearing God's Word. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, the Bible says, "For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, to the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart." Isaiah 55 and verse 11 puts it this way, "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I have sent it." So, in light of that thought this morning, I believe God's Word is meant to transform us, not just to give us information. It gives us information, but the purpose of God's Word is to transform our life. I believe the purpose of preaching is to transform our beliefs and our behaviors. And so I ask that you listen carefully this morning to this truth that I want to share with you. The Bible says, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying." So I want you to ask to listen with alert expectancy to hear what how God wants to change your life and how He wants to change mine. Are you listening?
Yes, sir.
"Blessed are those who hunger." What do you hunger for? What do I hunger for? Sometimes I'll go to the refrigerator at home and stand there and stare into the refrigerator. And Miss Judy will say, "Why are you holding the door open on the refrigerator?" And I'll say, "I'm hungry, but I don't know what I'm hungry for." So I'm standing there staring in the refrigerator. So what are you hungry for as a believer? Are you hungry for something that money can buy? Or would you say, I just don't know what it is that I'm hungry for? I'm hungry, but I don't know what it is. Somebody asked the black preacher one time, he said, you preach with power and unction. What is unction? What is the anointing of God? He said, I don't know what it is, but I know what it ain't. Well, there's sometimes I don't know what I'm hungry for, but I know what I ain't hungry for. I met a man in Birmingham, Alabama, who was quite wealthy, powerful, one of the wickedest sinners I ever met in my life. In a 30-minute conversation with him, he used every cuss word I think I've ever heard. And I think he was trying to shock me. But instead of just walking away from the guy and forgetting about him, I decided I was going to try to win him to the Lord. And so I witnessed to him for 7 years. I remember one time, and he finally did come to Christ. And I remember one time we were talking, and he said, Ralph, I want to ask you some questions. I said, all right, go ahead. And he said, you know, he said, I like to drink booze. It makes me feel happy and jolly. I think I'm having a good time. It makes me happy when I drink booze. He said, what's wrong with that? I just want to be happy. He said, and sometimes I'll smoke a joint because it makes me feel peaceful. What's wrong with that? What's wrong with feeling peaceful? And he said, sometimes I'll go buy a woman because I want to feel loved. What's wrong with that? And I said, Dugan, I'll tell you what's wrong with it. It's all counterfeit. It's all temporary. It doesn't last. It's not the real thing. It's a substitute for the real thing. You can't buy happiness. You can't drink happiness. You can't buy love. And you can't smoke peace. And I said, he said, well, what's God got against that? I said, I'll tell you what God has against that is that it is all temporary. It's all fake. And instead of going to those things to find happiness and love and peace, God wants to come to you. Wants you to come to Him, because that's the only place you'll ever find that kind of happiness, that kind of love and peace that is genuine, that is real. So, what are you hungry for? When Jesus was baptized of John in the River Jordan in Matthew chapter 4, the scripture says that he was led into the wilderness by the Spirit to be tempted of Satan. And after 40 days of fasting and prayer, Jesus was hungry, the Bible says. And so Satan came to him. He took advantage of the opportunity and he said, I know you're hungry. You've been fasting for 40 days. So why don't you just turn these stones into bread? You can do that. And Jesus' answer was this: it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. John chapter 6 and verse 35 says, and Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. I once knew a man who was a pastor. He was a huge man. He was had to be well over 350 pounds. And he was tall, 6'5". And I was sitting in a restaurant with him one day and watching him eat. I had finished a long time ago, and I'm a slow eater. And he was putting the food away. And he's self-conscious about it, I guess, and he started talking about it. And he said, "You know, Ralph," he said, "I've never, ever been full." He said, "I can never in my entire life ever finishing a meal, no matter how much I ate, and felt full." He was hungering for something. Apparently, he didn't find it. He may have, hopefully, since then, because he allowed his hungering and dissatisfaction to cause him to become involved with another woman and lost his ministry completely and lost out with God completely, because he never found what he was looking for. What are you hungry for? Where are you searching to satisfy your hunger? Blessed are those who hunger and thirst. What do you thirst for? Is it something temporary? Or do you even know what you are thirsty for? In the fourth chapter of John, there's a well-known story that we call the story of the woman at the well. And it says that Jesus was waiting for his disciples who had gone into town to buy some food. He was waiting by a well, and there came a woman from Sychar out there, a nearby town, to draw water. And Jesus started a conversation with her, asked her to give him a drink. And so they got into a conversation about theology and religion. And finally Jesus said, "If you knew who it were that you were talking to, you would ask me for a drink and I would give you living water. And you'll never ever thirst again." And she said, "Lord, give me this water." And Jesus said, "First go and call your husband." And she said, "I don't have a husband." And he said, "I know you don't. You've had five husbands. And now the one you're living with is not your husband. You're just jacked up with him." And then Jesus made this statement. He said, "Whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." What are you hungry for? What are you thirsty for? I have known many people of the same tribe as this woman at the well. Those who have had many men or had many relationships or tried this and tried that and tried the other to fill the emptiness in their life and satisfy the hunger and quench the thirst in their life and never found it in all those places they were looking for. Isaiah said, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, let him come to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price." I love this passage of Scripture in John chapter 7, verse 37, where Jesus said, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." And then he went on and said, "Whoever believes in me, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." What are you thirsty for? Where are you trying to quench your thirst? Revelation 22 and 17 says, in the Spirit, in the words of Jesus, he said, and the Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him that heareth say, come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. What are you thirsting for? What are you hungry for? Psalm 42, the psalmist said, as the hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. Is that true in your life and mine? Is that what we hunger and thirst for? Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. What is righteousness? What exactly is Jesus talking about? Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst for righteousness. Righteousness is a right relationship with God. That's what we hunger and thirst for. A right relationship with God. I read something that I think came out of the American Medical Magazine or Journal, whatever they call it. And there's been a study made of infants. And they found that if an infant does not have a meaningful relational connection with another human being, they are deficient in a lot of ways. They don't gain weight as they should. Their minds do not develop as they should. They grow up, if they grow up, they grow up with dysfunction in their life because they did not have a meaningful relational connection. And many of them even die. They call it failure to thrive. They fail to thrive because they don't have a meaningful relational connection. There are many people in the world that you and I live in that perish for the same reason, or grow up with something missing in their life because they have never developed a meaningful personal connection with Jesus Christ. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. You cannot live a full life, a healthy life, spiritually, mentally, physically, socially, or any other way without a meaningful personal relationship with Jesus Christ. It is absolutely impossible. 2 Corinthians 5 and 21 says, for he hath made him, speaking of Jesus, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. John 2 and 29 puts it this way, if you know that he is righteous, speaking of Jesus, you know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness. You know, basically a hunger and thirst for righteousness is a hunger and thirst for Jesus Christ. You may not know how to identify it. You may not know what it is. I remember when I first began to feel conviction for sin, I was totally puzzled. I'd never experienced conviction for sin ever before in my life. I was a church member. I was an unsaved, baptized, voted in church member, and I had never experienced conviction for sin. Didn't know what it was. And now I look back and I realize what it was a hunger God was creating in my life for Jesus Christ. That my life was like a puzzle with a piece missing. I may have had all the other pieces in place, but there was one piece still missing, and it messed up the whole thing. And that piece that was missing was Jesus Christ. And if you do not know him today, what you're hungry for, what you're thirsty for, is Jesus Christ. What you're searching for is Jesus Christ. You can hide behind all kinds of things, and you can look in all kinds of places, but you'll never find what you're looking for until you come to Jesus Christ and have a personal relationship with him. So, a hunger and thirst for righteousness is a hunger and thirst for Jesus and more of him. Blessed are those who do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they will be filled. Not may, not might, not could, but they will be filled. That's a promise of God's word. Are you being filled? Are you being filled this morning? A.W. Tozer put it this way. He said, every person is as close to God as they want to be. Think about it. Every person is as close to God as they want to be. You are as close to God as you want to be. And not only that, but every person is as holy and as full of the Spirit as they want to be. Blessed are those that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they will be filled. You're as close to God as you want to be this morning. You're as full of the Holy Spirit as you want to be. If there is anyone, anywhere, who hungers and thirsts for righteousness and is not filled, then the Word of God is worthless. If that's true in any case, in anybody's life, then the Word of God is worthless. If you can hunger and thirst after righteousness and not be filled. Happy are those whose greatest desire is to do what God requires. This, folks, is where truth touches life. This is where the rubber hits the road. Are we voluntarily willing to submit ourselves to every change that God wants to make in our life and willing to humbly ask him to remove our character defects? You say, I don't have any character defects. Yes, you do. You just lied. We all have character defects. Amen? And so we need to voluntarily submit ourselves to every change. You think God doesn't want to change your life? To every change that God wants to make in our life, and we need to humbly ask him to remove our character defects. And if we don't, if we're not willing to do that, then it is as solemn. Even if you're supposedly living the Christian life, even if you've been saved somewhere along the line, and you're not, and we're not willing to make that kind of a surrender to God's changing our life, then it is as Solomon said, it is all vanity and folly, and we're chasing the wind. Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. That word blessed is translated in the NIV, the nearly inspired version. It's translated in the NIV, happy. Happy are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Do you know it is God's will for you to be happy? And happiness, now don't miss this part. It's God's will for you to be happy, but happiness is conditioned on character. Happiness is conditioned on character. We are not born with character. It's something that we learn. It's something that we choose as we hunger and thirst after righteousness and allow God to change our lives. Righteousness, it's more of Christ. And that's character. That's where character comes from. It is developed by the Holy Spirit as we hunger and thirst for righteousness. There was a missionary who had gone to Africa, a certain region of Africa. He was a new missionary, and he was taking the place of a long-term missionary. And the folks that he would be ministering to and people he would be trying to reach, the tribe he would be trying to reach, many of them from the church that had been established by the missionary and many of those who had been saved, came out to meet him when he arrived in Africa and traveled back with him to the mission station. And on their way, they began to ask him questions. And they said to him, "Have you been saved?" "What? I'm a missionary. I prepared for the mission field. And I've been in seminary. I'm coming here to minister to you, and you ask me if I've been saved." And so he went along with them. He said, "Yes." And they said, "Tell us about it." So he began to share with them how he had come to Christ as Savior. And they asked him several questions as they traveled along, and finally one of them said, "What's God doing in your life now?" That's a good question. That's a good question. There are many folks sitting here in this building this morning who have trusted Christ as their Savior 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 40 years ago. But the question is, what is He doing in your life now? You say, "Well, I don't know anything." Well, I'll tell you one thing for sure. You haven't been hungering and thirsting after righteousness then. Because if you had been, you would be being filled. And God would be making changes in your life and mine. Am I any closer to God or farther away? Am I more like Jesus or less? Am I more in love with Jesus Christ today than I was yesterday or the day before or not? Do I have a stagnant religion or a personal relationship, growing relationship with Jesus Christ. You know, we as believers are meant to be change agents in this world. But first, we need to be changed. Happy are those whose greatest desire is to do what God requires. Are you willing to say, Lord, I voluntarily submit to every change you want to make in my life, and I humbly ask that you remove all of my character defects? That's the invitation this morning. Isaiah 61 and verse 3 gives us a wonderful promise. It says, and he will give you beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that you might be trees of righteousness, that you might be the planting of the Lord, and that he might be glorified. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 11 says, he makes all things beautiful in his time. He makes all things beautiful in his time. Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Are you willing to voluntarily submit yourself to every change that God wants to make in your life? And are you willing to humbly ask him to remove all your character defects so that you can be filled with his righteousness? Let's pray. Father,